Good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. Craig was right. We have a lot of guests with us this morning, and we are really thankful that you all are here. I hope that you have a Bible with you. If not, we have some Bibles in the back, and we can get some of those to you, but we're going to be flipping around quite a bit this morning. You can go ahead and get started in Proverbs chapter 26, and we're going to be talking about, I think, a very needed and necessary topic. It's darker than usual. I think it'll light up here in a second. But we're going to be talking about gossip this morning, and really more kind of a broader view than just gossip, just kind of negative speech towards different people. We're going to include slander and gossip kind of together in kind of one unit this morning and talk about this issue. Because I think when we consider our culture, by and large, our culture is kind of infatuated with the idea of gossip and slander and getting in other people's business. It's a huge moneymaker, really, if you think about it. If you go to the grocery store still today, maybe not as much as you used to, but go to the grocery store and you look as you're checking out the things, what do you see right there? You got the magazines about what's happened in people's lives recently, decisions they made, new relationships, changes in career, getting in other people's business, or if not in the magazines, online, there are all kinds of ads and stories about this person said this to this person, and people enjoy that. There's an enterprise behind the idea of gossip and getting into people's business, even whenever it's no business of our own. And whenever that type of culture finds its way into the individual lives of Christians, it finds its way into God's churches. And gossip is a destructive thing in the church. I think as Christians, sometimes, at best, we're careless in the ways that we talk about each other. And at worst, we're intentional in the negative ways that we talk about each other. And this is something that we need to address and talk about, because the fact of the matter is, the ugly truth about gossip has made the church of God into a place of pain for some people. And this is something that we need to be aware of. The church of God is not supposed to be a place where there's backbiting, where there's talking amongst each other, where there's attacking personal character or anything like that. The church of God is supposed to be a place of love and of healing for people to come. But what gossip does is it destroys trust, it creates insecurity, and it's simply not possible where love is truly practiced in God's church. So in Proverbs 26, I want to read just a couple of verses in Proverbs, and then we'll get started here. Proverbs 26, starting in verse 20. It says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." This proverb here, what it says, the first two verses we had, verse 20 and 21, it says, if you want to have a fire, one thing that you need to have a fire is a fuel source. Whether it's wood, whether it's charcoal, whatever you need to keep the fire sustained, you need that fuel source. If you want to have strife or fighting or quarrels in a group of people, one thing that will help sustain that is gossiping, whispering, talking about people behind their backs. And this verse, we're going to get to verse 22 here later on, but the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. People enjoy this, like we've talked about. You can see it in our culture. People enjoy talking about what the newest, the big juicy piece of news about this new couple, or what's the juicy news about their new job that they got. People enjoy spreading and talking about people's business. It's like delicious morsels, and it goes down into our innermost parts. But what gossip does, look back just a few pages to Proverbs 18. In Proverbs 18, in verse 19, these are just a couple of the effects of gossip and talking behind people's backs. In verse 19 of Proverbs 18, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. From the fruit of a man's mouth his stomach is satisfied, he is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits." You think about that, a brother offended is harder to win than a fortified city. If you're going to war and you want to take a city and it has walls and it has an army, it would be easier to win that city than it would to win an offended brother. And that verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." We're just talking about one aspect of speech today and talking about other people in negative ways. But the words that we say are powerful. I know I've said this before, but I heard growing up that the phrase, and some of you all have maybe used this phrase or have heard this phrase also, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I haven't heard that very much recently now, and I'm glad, because I think that's wrong. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and words will sometimes hurt even more than what sticks and stones can do. And it's this proverb says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I think really in two kind of different ways. One, death and life are in the power of the tongue and how our words affect us. What I say kind of matters in how people perceive me. I'll either be seen as a wise person or as a foolish person. Death and life is going to decide, or my words are going to decide where I end up in eternity. I have the power of death and life over me. But also our words have the power of death and life over others. And we can enrich the lives and encourage the lives of other people, or we can completely destroy the lives of other people with our words. So this is an important topic that we need to address this morning. And so what I want to do this morning is just talk about what gossip is, and maybe why we enjoy it so much, and what it really does when we strip away all of the fun and the excitement behind gossip sometimes, what it really does, and then what we're going to do about it, what we need to do in order to get rid of gossip. So first thing, how do we define gossip? What is gossip? A couple of different things, and these are not actual definitions, but just a couple of observations about gossip. Gossip is telling wrong information about someone for the purpose of tearing down or making yourself look better. This is just one aspect, right? Sometimes gossip is just lying. Or maybe it's not intentional lying, but it's just sharing information that you haven't confirmed to be the truth. But you want to be the first one to share that type of information. It could be true, or it could not be true. It doesn't really matter. You haven't fact-checked it yet, but you just want to spread the information on. That could be a form of gossip. But on the flip side of it, it could be just presenting true information to someone who doesn't need to know. And we'll talk about that here in a second, some proverbs and some verses with that. But the point is, gossip sometimes it gets kind of swept under the rug, and you excuse gossip by saying, well, what I said was true. Just because something is true or false, it doesn't constitute whether it's gossip or not. And sometimes it's helpful to spread or to talk about people whenever they're not present, but in a constructive way. I think a helpful question to ask when we're trying to decide what gossip is the person that you're sharing information with going to be a part of the solution or not? Over in Matthew chapter 18, we'll just read just a few verses here. Matthew 18, verse 15. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens, you have gained your brother. So Jesus is going to describe the process of if you have an issue with someone, if someone has sinned against you, what you need to do. And there are a few steps in this process. The first step is, if you have a problem with someone, go and talk to them, just the two of you. And the purpose behind this is what I want to see. The purpose is not to prove yourself right or to tear down or to make yourself look better or any of that. The purpose at the end of verse 15 is to gain your brother. You go and confront someone, person to person, and gain your brother. And if that doesn't work, in verse 16, if he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So if he doesn't listen, then you can start bringing in other people. And this is not gossip. This is sharing information in order to accomplish the purpose in verse 15 of gaining your brother back. And you bring more people in to help influence this brother. And if that doesn't work, in verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. So you spread more knowledge to more people. Again, not gossip, but trying to establish and gain a brother back. And if he doesn't listen to the church, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. There is a time and place to go and share information with people about a person, right? There are some things that are secretive that need to be brought to light. And I think that we're aware of that. And there's an amount of wisdom that needs to go into that. But it all kind of goes back to our purpose on why we're sharing information, right? Sharing things that are not your right to share. Back in Proverbs, this is maybe another sign of gossip. In Proverbs 20, going through the Proverbs, the gossiper is often called in Proverbs the whisperer or the slanderer or different things like that. And in Proverbs 20 and verse 19, it says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. And then he says, therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Sometimes there are things that you learn whether somebody trusts you in confidence and tells you that, or maybe you learn something about someone by accident and they didn't want you to know that, you could become a gossiper by sharing that information when you don't need to. When there's not a matter of gaining your brother back, or maybe it's not a matter of sin, or somebody has trusted you with something like that, and they trust you to keep that information to yourself, it can be tempting sometimes to want to share that with someone else for a negative purpose. Or what gossiping does also, we won't turn to 3 John just yet, we'll get there here in a second, but gossiping also can be identified as a way of creating alliances among people, and developing factions, maybe amongst a group of people. There's a man in 3 John, which we'll read about in a second, named Diotrephes. And if you remember about Diotrephes, he was one who spoke evil about different groups of people and put out different Christians from the church. And he was doing that in order to promote himself and because he liked the place of power. And sometimes that happens within a church, and that happens within gossiping. Because we gossip and we tell things about other people, and we want someone to validate our point of view on someone else. And try to get them on our side. And look, how ridiculous this person is, or how ridiculous what they said was, or what they did was, and validate our point of view so that we create a team for us, and our team is bigger than their team, and so we're right, and then gossip will end up destroying that other person. And you think about this, the way that you act, the way that we talk, there's a certain repertoire of phrases and actions that go along with gossiping. Have you ever been in a conversation and you start it off, or maybe someone starts it off as kind of quieter, and they say, "Did you hear what happened with so and so?" Or maybe, "Do you know what so and so did?" Or, "Don't tell anyone that I told you this, but did you hear what so and so did?" That's usually a good sign that you're about to start gossiping about someone. If you're trying to be secretive, if you're trying to give disclaimers with what you're saying and saying, you know, keep it quiet, but I want you to know also. That kind of defeats the whole purpose of the Matthew 18, sharing information with someone in order to gain your brother. If you're trying to keep it a secret, you're not trying to help someone. You're just trying to share information for no purpose at all. And that can fall into the realm of gossip, or even how we act among other people and we're gossiping. I think a general rule of thumb, and maybe this isn't always true, but a general rule of thumb to identify gossip, if you would be embarrassed for the person that you're talking about to come into the room while you were talking about them, it's probably gossip. Or maybe better, if you couldn't say what you were going to say with that person in the room about them, it's probably gossip. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But God hates gossip. We'll get to that that point of what gossip really does. But you think about this. If you're creating alliances with other people, if this type of mentality, this type of culture gets into God's church, and there are alliances, there are factions, people are not trusting each other, there's sometimes truth being spread, sometimes lies being spread, God hates that. And in Proverbs chapter 6, one of the 7 things that the Lord hates is one who sows discord among the brethren, one who creates problems among people. And gossip is a surefire way, like we opened up in Proverbs 26. If you want to have problems, strife, fighting, quarrels, have a whisperer, have a slanderer, have someone who gossips. And the Lord hates this type of lifestyle. And so if God hates it, then why do we like it? Why do we do it? Why do we engage in gossip? I think just a few reasons, not an exhaustive list. But if we're completely honest, one of the first reasons why we gossip is simply because we're just perverse sometimes. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says that before Christ, we were by nature children of wrath. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, the reason why we share information and spread information is because we allow our anger and our desires to get even and for justice to kind of take the wheel. And our purpose behind gossip is truly because we want to damage or destroy or diminish someone's reputation. Now, maybe not all the time, but sometimes we need to be aware of that. If that's in our mind, that our purpose is to make someone else look bad, that's a reason why we sometimes gossip. And we need to be aware that that's not acceptable, that that's not good in order to do that for someone. Sometimes we gossip just because we're cowards. Have you ever been in a conversation and maybe you've said it, or someone that you've been talking to has said this, that they're complaining about some situation, complaining about some person, sharing information that there is no right for them to share, putting someone in a bad light, and then they say, "And you know what? I'd say it to their face too." Have you ever heard someone say that? "I would say it to their face too." You know that's a lie. right? If you've said that, and I have said that before, or if you've heard someone say that, that's just a blatant lie to say, and I would say it to their face too. Because if it was true, they would have already said it to their face. They would have already gone to them and followed the pattern that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 18 of going to them one-on-one and solving the problem. But if they're not saying it to their face now, why would they say it to their face later? I like in Galatians chapter 2 how Paul kind of deals with a situation here. And Paul could have engaged in gossip. He could have started spreading rumors. He could have started talking evil about Peter in Galatians, but he doesn't do that. And I like how he words it in Galatians chapter 2. In verse 11, he says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." But there in verse 11, whenever there's a problem, whenever Paul sees someone, sees Peter, Cephas, doing something wrong, he kind of has two options that he can go down. He can either confront the situation like he does and talk to Peter to his face, or Paul could have just started spreading rumors, maybe going around to the churches in Galatia and saying, "Can you believe what Peter did? Can you believe that Peter just kind of withdrew himself whenever the people from Jerusalem came up? I can't believe that Peter would do something like that." But instead, Paul attacks the situation rather than making the situation worse. And he goes and confronts Peter to his face. But sometimes we gossip, and sometimes we engage in this lifestyle because we're just cowards, because we don't want to confront people about the issues that are in their lives or about the things that we want to correct in people's lives or help them correct. Sometimes we gossip because it gives us a sense of power. Over in 3 John, we already mentioned Diotrephes, but we'll flip over there and read it now. In 3 John, starting in verse 9, John says, "If I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with this, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church." There in verse 9, he says, Diotrephes, or in verse 10, he's speaking evil, talking wicked nonsense, and he's doing this because he likes to put himself first. Sometimes when we get information, we want to share it with other people, and we know I'm the one that has this juicy piece of information. And we know that people enjoy learning pieces of new information, and it kind of puts us in the driver's seat where we can kind of shape and design someone's perception of someone else or someone's perception of a situation. And you start telling it to someone, and they get kind of the gleaming look in their eyes like, "Wow, I can't believe that person would do that." And I'm the one that gets to share that information. And so we enjoy spreading rumors and gossip because it gives us a sense of power. We're the ones that are in control of the conversation, and we get to decide who hears what. And that can be a motivation for gossip. Sometimes our motivation for gossip, or why we enjoy gossiping, is because it just makes us feel better about ourselves. It doesn't matter how bad that we are. If we can paint someone else in a worse light, then the attention is on someone else and not ourselves. I think about in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus tells the parable to those who trust in themselves that they are righteous, and he tells the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And you think about the Pharisee's attitude. I don't know if I would say that the Pharisee is gossiping in Luke chapter 18, but his attitude is certainly the attitude of a gossiper, I think, sometimes, where he's praying to God and he says, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, that I'm not like those who extortioners or murderers, or not even like this tax collector, but I do all of this good stuff." He's singling out and zeroing in on the failings of other people rather than his own failings. And then you have that compared to the tax collector who just prays, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," acknowledging his own failings and not really concerned with other people. But sometimes we gossip and we talk about other people so that no one will talk about us. If we can get everyone else to talk about everyone else except us, no one's going to be gossiping about us. They're worried about everyone else and what they're doing that's wrong, and not the things that we're doing that are wrong. Sometimes gossip happens because it's just a habit. And maybe we don't even realize that we're engaging in gossip. In 1 Timothy chapter 5,
Paul is explaining the process of enrolling widows into the church and supporting them financially. And in chapter 5, verse 13, he talks about the younger women who are widows. And in verse 13, he says that if their lives are not lived intentionally, in verse 13, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. If we don't fill, and we'll talk about this at the end of the lesson, if we don't fill our lives with saying good things, eventually our lives are going to be filled with saying bad things. And at worst, as it starts out here, they learn to be idlers, but then you move from idling to gossiping, you move from gossiping to busybodies, and then because our culture is so infatuated with this type of lifestyle, and this is just how people talk. People at school, they gossip. People at work, they gossip. People in the grocery store, they gossip. There's a whole enterprise behind gossip. Everyone's doing it, and it becomes a part of our speech life and our speech patterns, and then it's just habitual. And we don't even realize sometimes that we're tearing someone down in the things that we say. And we need to be intentional with how we talk. Sometimes we gossip, I think, because we just lack self-control. We won't read Titus chapter 3. You can read that later and write that down. But Titus chapter 3 is just really a great chapter about the call to be intentional and the call to be a Christian and what Christians need to do in their lives. But I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous," and that slanderous also goes hand in hand with gossip. "They are without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And he says, avoid such people. But he lists those two. I think that's interesting. I don't know if some of the lists that Paul makes, if he orders them in a specific order for a purpose. But I find it interesting that the slanderers are listed next to those with no self-control. I think sometimes gossip happens and we try to cover it up and put it under a different name to kind of validate our lack of self-control and wanting to talk about someone else. Let me illustrate this. Have you ever been in a conversation where someone comes to you and they say, "I just need you to listen to me for a second. I need to vent about something. I need to vent about someone. Just listen to me." If the purpose behind that conversation is not to help or to solve the problem or to gain a brother back, like in Matthew chapter 18, but just to vent, I think we're labeling a gossip conversation as a venting conversation. And it's because of lack of self-control, because I just need to say something about this person. I can't hold it in anymore, my frustrations. I have to say what's on my mind. No, you don't. You don't have to say what's on your mind. You need to control your tongue, because death and life are in the power of a tongue. And we'll talk about what gossip can do, not only to the person you're gossiping about, but the person that you're gossiping to. But just labeling it as something other than gossip and saying this is venting does not mean that it's not gossip anymore. It doesn't mean that it's not slander anymore. It's still talking about someone for a negative purpose. Now, there's a time and place to go and talk to someone when you're having a problem, like we said before. And it's certainly appropriate to seek counsel, to seek guidance, or maybe to present information to someone and say, you know, listen, I'm really struggling with my relationship with this person. We're constantly kind of at each other's throats. There's all this tension between us. Would you pray with me about that? There's a huge difference in saying, would you pray with me about this situation, and saying, listen to me, I need to vent. There's a huge difference in saying, I'm in this situation and I don't know how to deal with this person. What would you do if you were in this situation? Can you help me? Can you counsel me in that? And saying, listen to me, I just need to vent. There are huge differences in those two types of conversations. And sometimes we just want to talk about someone because we lack the self-control to hold in and not ask for help in certain situations. This, I think, are some reasons why we gossip. But then if we think about gossip, gossip is such an evil thing, and maybe such an unspoken evil. I think we need to talk about what gossip really does, what true gossip does. Because we know sometimes gossip is fun, and it's you know, cool sometimes to learn about what's happening in someone's life. But when we learn what it really does according to the Bible, it's a terrifying thing to be involved in. So first thing, and first and foremost, what gossip does, it angers God. And I think we could just stop the list and the whole lesson right here and just say, gossip angers God, so stop. But we're gonna explore this idea a little bit. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look back at verse 18, starting out. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And then he goes through the chapter and he starts talking about idolatry and different things that people engage in and homosexuality. And then he gets to the end of the chapter and he has this long list of these abominations that worldly people engage in. And in verse 29, he starts that list and he says, "They are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness." And then here, "They are gossips." Verse 30, "Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." There are a couple points here. First, back to verse 18. These things that are in this list, they incur the wrath of God. God hates when these things happen. But also, when you think about this list, this is a really fascinating list to me, that all of these things, in verse 32, he says, "They know that those who practice these things deserve to die." All of these are sins that deserve death, like Kevin brought up in our thoughts this morning of the Lord's Supper. All of these are sins. When you look at some of these sins, some of these things I would be shocked and horrified to be involved in. Murder, and inventing evil. The evil that's available to me now is not good enough, so I'm going to create new and improved ways to transgress God's will, to hurt other people. Some of these things in these lists are horrifying, but in this list is gossip. And you think about that. It kind of gets downplayed in our culture. Like, it's okay to learn information and to share information and rumor monger and things like that. But it's in a list with murder and inventing evil and all these things that God hates. And they deserve death. The gossiping lifestyle angers God and it incurs God's wrath. Also, gossiping destroys relationships in a couple of different ways. Back in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." If we engage in a lifestyle of gossip, you can bank on it that if you're doing this, you will wreck the relationships in your life. And not just with the people that you're gossiping about when they find out that you've been gossiping about them, but also with the wise friends that you're gossiping to. Because back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul instructs Timothy that when you learn that these types of people are doing these types of things, at the last part of that verse, in verse 5, he says, avoid these people. Right? You will wreck the relationships with people that you talk about, and you'll wreck the relationships of the good people that you talk to about other people. Because when a wise person learns that you're a gossip, and that you enjoy talking about other people, and that you come and gossip about other people to them, what would stop you from gossiping about them? And so they're going to disassociate from you. They're going to take the flame or take the fuel source away and not give you someone to gossip to. And you're going to lose different relationships and eventually not even be capable of having a trusting relationship really with anyone if you keep gossiping and this becomes part of your lifestyle. Gossip also destroys reputations. In Proverbs 18 and verse 17, I think this is an interesting proverb when we think about gossip. It says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes to examine him." If we're engaging in gossip, we can destroy the view that someone has and the perspective that someone has of another person. Think about this. If you've learned a piece of information about someone and you don't know if it's true, you don't know if it's maybe just a lie or something made up, I find it very hard if someone tells me that, I'll use Brian as an example to put a name with it. If someone tells me Brian has been stealing money from his company, I don't know if that's true. I strongly suspect that that's not true because I know Brian's character, but I don't know if that's true. The next time that I'm around Brian, my perspective and my perception of Brian is he could be a thief. But I would have had no reason to think that if no one told me that Brian's been stealing before. It morphs how we think about people, whether we want it to or not. The first time you hear information, that's all that you have until someone comes and cross-examines it again. And it seems right. And so we can morph how people think and the reputations of people and completely destroy them. And sometimes what you say, you can't take it back. There's a story, and I don't remember all the details, is about a Jewish rabbi who was kind of hated by another young Jew, and the Jew was spreading rumors and information and false things about him. And then eventually the young Jewish man realized what he was doing was wrong, and he came to the rabbi and he wanted to apologize to him. And he said, you know, I'm sorry, I've been spreading these rumors about you. Is there anything I can do to fix it? And the rabbi tells him to get a pillow full of feathers and to go into the center of the city and to rip open the pillow with feathers and spread the feathers as well as he can throughout the city and just shake them all out. And then he comes back to the rabbi after doing that. And he says, you know, I did that. I spread the feathers everywhere. And the rabbi says, okay, now I want you to go and get all of the feathers. And it was kind of at that moment that the young man knew the point that the rabbi was trying to say. You're never going to be able to find all of those feathers. You're never going to be able to get all of it back. You can get some of it back, maybe, but you're never going to be able to get it all. And so we can totally destroy someone's reputation, and it could be a permanent destruction of their reputation if we're not careful with how we talk about people and the rumors that we spread. Gossip also corrupts us. It destroys our relationships. It can destroy the reputation of other people, but it corrupts us. And one of the first verses that we read in Proverbs 26 and verse 22, it says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Right? If you gossip for long enough, you'll eventually become paranoid about what other people are saying about you. And you'll become a kind of an untrustworthy person just in general. People won't trust you and you won't trust anyone else. And living this lifestyle long enough will kind of make you incapable of ever having a truly loving, trusting relationship with anyone. Because if you know that you gossip, then you think other people will probably gossip too. And I need to be careful around other people and I can't have different relationships. And it goes into our innermost parts and we become this type of person, a deceitful, destructive type of person. And we need to be careful about that because it can corrupt our life. And we've already talked about gossip can divide the church. We can create factions. We won't turn over to 2 Corinthians, but Paul lists at the end of 2 Corinthians some things he's worried that the Corinthians will be involved in if he comes again. And Paul doesn't want to come and correct them. He wants them to fix the problem before he comes so he can have a good reunion with them. And one of the things in the list that Paul is concerned about is the gossiping. And you think about that with the church at Corinth, one of the things that they struggled with was having factions among each other. Now, in 1 Corinthians, that was because they were taught by Peter or maybe taught by Apollos or taught by Paul. But I imagine if there's gossip and Paul is concerned about gossip in the church, that gossip was creating more rifts between the church there. And Paul says you need to fix that. And so with all those things, we think about all the things that gossip can do and what gossip really does. This is a problem that we need to be aware of and that we need to stop before it starts, kind of thing. So what are the things that we're going to do about it? Really, two different things. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I think the first thing that we need to do when it comes to gossip and getting this problem out of God's church and out of our lives is to put it to what I'm going to call the Ephesians 4 test. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul goes through explaining what it's like after we become Christian and we put off the old man and put on the new man. We put away all of the corrupt things that we were doing and replace those with good things that we need to do. And so if we go through starting in verse 25, this will be helpful in testing what we say before we say it. First thing that we need to ask ourselves, if you're going to share information with someone, ask this question, is what you're saying true? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he says, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Is it true? If you're going to share information with someone and you know that it's not true, the conversation shouldn't even start. Or if you're not sure if it's true or not, the conversation also shouldn't start. You need to be 100% sure what I'm saying is true. And if you're not 100% sure of what you're saying is true, go to the person and ask them. And talk with them about it. But the first thing, is what you're saying true? In verse 26, Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. We also need to examine our motivations. and why we want to share information, particularly if we're angry and want to share information. There's a phrase my dad used to say whenever he got angry, that he was seeing red, that everything is just red now. And I don't think that he was being literal, but that idea, and some of you all have maybe experienced this, you can get so angry that everything just kind of looks different. And not just like visually looks different, but different, you know, things that are happening or different relationships or what someone did. It just looks different. It affects how we feel. And if you know that you're angry, it's probably a good idea to not start talking about someone else when they're not there. Wait until you're not angry anymore and then continue the conversation in an appropriate way, again, if it's true. But then skipping down, down to verse 29, Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, then it may give grace to all those who hear." The next question that we need to ask is, what you're saying unwholesome? Is it going to be for a positive purpose in order to help someone, or is it just to degrade someone, to make fun of them, to talk about how wrong that they were, or are you really trying to help someone? Is it wholesome? And if it is, then you can continue with the next question. Does what you're saying edify? Is it helpful? Is it encouraging to the person that's hearing it, or is it edifying of the person that you're talking about? And is it helpful in building up? And then, does it need to be said? There in verse 26, he says, only as fits the occasion. I think about the words, we'll actually turn over and read this because I think this is powerful. In Matthew 12, the words of our Lord, what he says about what we say. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I think that's very important for us to realize in this conversation. Every careless word that you speak, sometimes gossip is unintentional. Sometimes it is intentional, but sometimes gossip is unintentional. Because we're just not thinking, it's just a habit, and we're just talking about someone and sharing information. Christians are some, or should be, some of the most intentional people in the entire planet. We need to be intentional in how we act. We need to be intentional in how we talk, in the information that we share. And if we're not, that falls under the category of the careless words that we're speaking, which can do all the different things like anger God, destroy reputation, destroy our relationships. And then Jesus says, you will be justified by your words, or you will be condemned by your words. We need to think about that and think about, does what I'm about to share, does it need to be said to this person? Do they need to know? Is it going to be helpful? Is it going to taint someone's reputation? Think about all these things. Does it fit the occasion of where I'm at? And if it does, and if you can pass this whole test, then you can continue in your conversation. And I think you would be safe to not be gossiping in that way. But it's not that you get one or two or three of these things whenever you use this test on what you're going to say. You need to have a 100%, every single one of these you pass with flying colors, and then we can say what we're going to say. That's the first thing. Put it to the test, what we're going to say ourselves to stop gossip. But also, it takes two people to gossip. And so if you are the gossiper, put what you're saying to the test. If you're the one being gossiped to, end it. Stop it. In Romans chapter 1, that last verse that we were reading on the long list of things that are bringing the wrath of God, Paul says that they not only do these things, but they approve of those who practice them. If you listen to gossip, whether you like gossip or not, I think if I asked, does anyone in here enjoy gossip, being gossiped about? No one would raise their hand. No one enjoys being gossiped about. So no one would approve gossip. But if you listen to gossip, you are indirectly approving of a gossiping lifestyle. And so take courage. And if you hear someone starting to gossip about someone else, say, I don't need to hear that. Stop talking to me about that. Go and talk to them. Or maybe a helpful question is, have you talked to them about it first? If they want to complain about it. But it takes two people to gossip. So what we need to do about gossip, test our words, test what we're going to say, and then also test the words of other people. And if it comes up short, end it. Don't provide the fuel source that keeps gossiping going. Because if a whisperer, if a gossip loses their audience, they can't gossip anymore. And so we'll solve that problem.
I hope that that is helpful for us. Our words are so important. And the Bible has a lot to say with what we use our mouth for, what we use our tongue for. James chapter 3 is maybe the famous passage about that. But what we say has an effect on ourselves, and it has an effect on those that are around us in the world. And so we need to be careful and watch ourselves and how we treat other people in the negative ways that we can sometimes talk about others. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you haven't been baptized into Jesus' death, you haven't had your sins washed away, you have that opportunity this morning. You can come forward and profess Jesus as your Lord, and we can baptize you into the water up here, and then you can start walking in newness of life and getting all of the evil out of your life, gossip included, but all of the evil out of your life, and start filling it with the new lifestyle of the new man and giving glory to God and just having a better life here in this world and not having to worry about relationships being destroyed because of gossip. Or maybe you have become a Christian and you've fallen short and you need the encouragement, you need the prayers and the help of the church here. We can help you with that, and we can pray with you, and we can study with you, and we can all get better at serving God and doing what He wants us to do. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward and make that known. Talk to me about that while we stand and sing.